Go ahead, Hive.
All right, welcome everybody. We had like four more people join us just now on the live radio. Please say your name and city.
It's Dee Collier calling back in.
All right, Dee, welcome again.
Hi, this is South Dakota. Dakota.
Who is it from South Dakota?
Jean.
Hello, Jean.
Hello.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And more people joined us. Welcome, everybody. And if you want to do so, please say your name and city.
Hi, this is Jackie from Massachusetts. How are you?
Good, Jackie. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you.
All right,
Jackie, you don't have a good Massachusetts accent.
I'm not originally from Massachusetts. That's probably why.
Where are you from? You're from Wisconsin.
No, I'm from Quebec.
Quebec. Oh, I should have.
Yeah.
Are you French Canadian?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, honey, go ahead, Eyes, back to you.
And,
all right.
This is Raleigh from San Diego.
Hello, Raleigh. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
How was the weather in Fallbrook?
Really beautiful today.
All right.
Did you have an avocado salad tonight?
No, you know what? Avocados, the Haas, aren't ready till late January, so there are no avocados right now.
For those of you that are listening, Fallbrook is the avocado capital of the world, I think.
Yes.
Yes? Okay.
All right, are there more people who have joined us who have not announced themselves? I want to please go ahead. Welcome to the person who just joined us. Please say your name and city.
Hello, this is Connie in Missouri.
Connie, good evening. Welcome to the call.
Good evening. Thank you.
All right. And somebody else joins at the same time. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and city.
It's Suzanne in Columbus.
Good evening, Suzanne. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
How are you doing, Suzanne?
I'm great. Thanks.
All right.
So I want you to know you're all live on the Internet right now. And there's somebody else coming in. Go ahead, Hive.
Welcome to the BBS call. Please say your name and city.
Hi, it's Chris in Memphis.
Chris, good evening.
Hi, Chris.
How's it going? Hey, how's it going?
I think Wynn has a video clip he wants to mail you.
Oh, really? There's not naked people in it, is there?
No.
I mailed Hive's video clip you sent me. I was thinking of putting it on the Wynn channel, but I thought it might offend some people.
What clip? The Beatles?
Maybe you didn't. Oh, no. Hive sent me the clip. Maybe I didn't send it to you yet. I thought you sent it to me and I sent it to Hive. I did send it to somebody. But listen, while we're talking about all this, let's get back on to the topic of the evening, and which is not whether Chris Blair was Jim Morrison in his last life.
I never said that. It was just similarities now.
Similarities. Well, you're too old anyway.
No, he died in 71. I was born in December 71.
Oh, I see. Oh, you could be, huh? Okay.
I can show you some more similarities if you want.
Well, not tonight, okay? Keep it on hold. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And let's see. Everyone on DBS, everyone on the conference line who has checked in, why don't we all just say hello to everyone on DBS? You ready? One, two, three.
Hello,
BBS.
Now we're gonna mute them all. Okay.
There's a lot going on here.
Just one second, you won't hear it. That's the control we have.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
This is Monday, January 10th. This is Wynn Free. And this is our simulcast between BBS Radio Internet Broadcast and our telephone conference line. Now, you know, we discuss some serious topics on this call. And, you know, one of them relates, as we've talked to many times, this idea of graduating from this realm. And some of you may wonder, why are we so corny at the beginning of the call? And the reason is because that's part of graduation. It's like you need to detach yourself from things. You need to create a loving environment, because if you worry about whether you're going to graduate, you're probably going to screw it up. So once you know that information, stop worrying and learn to enjoy yourself, because that's what opens your heart. And if you're taking it real seriously, you may be try to figure out how to lighten up and have some fun and some enjoyment. Now, sometimes that's not easy. Sometimes your life is falling apart. Sometimes people around you are sick and you're sick. And it's a challenge to get light. And yet, it's incredibly important. I'll tell you a story. I don't even know if I told this story before. I may have said it once before. But most of you know the story of my sister and how I had asked for somebody to take a
seriously. Entry and exit times are off.
And how I had she was going in for that serious operation, and I had asked if they could help her, and then she survived the operation, and I thought it was coincidence. But then she went to a rehabilitation home for the next few weeks. And I called her at the rehabilitation home every day. And I said, this is the cheer up committee. And every day I would tell her a joke. I would have to go search the internet and find a joke. And I told her her job was she had to repeat it to the nurses. And you know what? The nurses were all around her. She got more love than she probably ever felt in her life. And they all looked forward to her joke of the day. And then, of course, a few weeks later, there was the tests where the lupus disappeared. And all that time I was thinking it was coincidence that her cancer had gone. And when the lupus disappeared, and the nurse said lupus never goes away, it was very obvious to me that I had a miracle on my hands. And someday I'm going to have my sister on here. She's so shy, and she's still not well, but she's surviving. And then when I did my channeling about that and asked questions about the lupus disappearing, and they said they put a filter in her blood stream and took the filter, the lupus out, they also said, if I didn't call her every day and tell the jokes, they wouldn't have had the opening to remove the lupus. Now, think about that. That's very important. You see, that it's in the joy and the love that we create down here that gives them the opening to energetically connect. It's like some people think, because we're talking to the Elohim, just ask them and miracles happen. And I don't see that it works that way. I see that it's a co-creation, and that we need to expand our fields large enough so that they can make the connection. Now, it's beyond me to understand completely how all this works, and probably beyond all of us. Of course, we can ask them, and they can try to tell us. But keeping things light. Remember on the Titanic when everyone was going into the life rafts and all those guys were playing music as they were marching out and smiling at them? It's like no matter what happens in this level, no matter what, it's keeping it light and keeping it joyous to the best of your ability. And that keeps the energies flowing. The bottom line is we are all going to die. No matter how that happens, we are going to die. And you can may as well stop worrying about it because it's going to happen. And the really good part of it is that you, when your physical body dies, pretty evident that you continue. And when you really, really get that, when that really gets to you on a cellular level, that, hey, I'm going to continue, then it's a lot easier to lighten up a little bit about whether you die or not. So now the challenge is making sure when you die that you go to the best place possible and you don't have to come back for a bunch of lifetimes that are horrible and that are enslavement or that are, you know, repeating this realm. Of course, if that should happen to you, it's no worse than what we've done already, because here we are, and, you know, most of us have had 1,000 lifetimes, and we don't even remember, because it's always like this is the first one, except that you carry the patterns of all those lifetimes. So, you know, it's good to get the angst off of everything, and the more you do, the better the outcome. So tonight we're going to continue our conversation about DNA. And, you know, we've had some previous dialogues where we learned about amoebas and how amoebas transferred energy and that there was a connection between the transfer of energy and DNA evolution started. And it was actually, those were the calls about sex. And, of course, we may not have had a conversation about this, but in one of my old dialogues with the Elohim, they explained that humans, I think I did talk about this, humans, at least in the most recent phase of humans, were originally developed by genetic engineers who were Elohim's descended into this realm. And they were engineered to be slaves, gold miners. So that was according to our information. And by the way, this information is also written about by certain people who studied Sumerian wall carvings and the history that was in ancient cultures that had the same story. A guy by the name of Zachariah Sitchin is the person who wrote a number of books that deal with the creation of humans. And this came up through Daphne a long time ago when neither of us had ever heard this idea. So, the Elohim we're talking about, there had to be a point where the soul group Elohim was engineering DNA because there were no DNA, no genetic scientists in this realm. And at some point, there was a transfer from how they did it to how it was done here. Now, those of you that are familiar with the Bible, it says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man, somewhere in there. And I believe the sons of God were the descended Elohim. And it doesn't mean they were all negative, but we know some of them are or were, because they took their position to control others because of their exalted powers. Now, I've never asked, did they know that they were Elohim? You know, it did say the sons of God mated with the daughters of men. And I would guess that many of the ancient gods that have gone down through mythology, Zeus, ISIS, if you're on the line, hello. I can't remember all the names, but you're certainly familiar with them. There were Egyptian gods and there were Greek gods. We're probably descended Elohim, probably, or some other exalted DNA classification. You see, what turns someone into a god in this realm, and they're really not gods, but what gives them the ability to be respected and looked upon by other people is connected to DNA, because the person that has well-developed strands of DNA can play the card of having power over other people. And they can do it, and it can be a positive thing because it can help those people evolve. But if they have the agenda of keeping them at a lower level of the DNA and not letting them evolve, then it's not necessarily a positive thing. It creates slavery. And it's my understanding that in the original creation and engineering of humans, there was the intent to create slavery. And one of the things that came out in a channeling through Daphne was that it was sex over eons of time that broke humans out of the two strands of DNA that started opening them up, because sex led to an exchange where hearts would open in some cases, and in other cases, not. In other cases, it was sex doesn't necessarily have to be that. But if you have a partner and if you have gratitude and if somebody makes you feel good and you have that gratefulness for them making you feel good or making you feel secure, that's an opening of the heart. And so, inadvertently, sex, and they had sex because sex allowed the slaves to continue over generations. So, a very good question would be, if one was designing someone and had some ability to design the DNA, why would they design the person? Why would the genetic scientist design the person to even have latent strands of DNA? They would, if I was doing it and I wanted people not to evolve and just be at my beck and call, then I would have designed them to only have two strands of DNA. But they were designed with 12 strands, as far as I understand, and 10 were latent. And what modern geneticists would call junk DNA. So we're going to be discussing this tonight and understanding further the relationship between love, energy transfer, and DNA awakening. Because according to all of our conversations, there's a very important aspect of DNA evolution with graduation from this realm. And that's what keeps your heart open. And according to my understanding, there's an intake of energy, and that intake of energy activates the DNA. It's like watering the strand of DNA, so it activates, and then it holds the energy once it's activated. And instead of needing the intake of energy, you become a being that creates the opportunity for other people to intake energy, to intake your energy. And just by your presence, you start being an evolutionary force for people that you come in contact with. And some of you on the line, I think, have experienced that. I certainly have experienced it. And it doesn't seem like black and white, like, boom, you're totally always there. It's a process. But just being in the flow of intaking energy, and one of the things that seems to be true on this line is that when you're on this line, there is the opportunity to intake energy from the higher sources. And you don't have to go around looking for someone to love you. That's what most people do, because they're wanting, on an unconscious level, they know they want to open up to love. And, of course, the traditional way to do that is to have a wonderful partner and feel loved. But that can be a lot easier said than done in this realm. So the potential to open up to being loved from a source outside of yourself that's not even in the physical realm, and to feel that love and that energy is an extraordinary thing. And you can see why in history that could easily translate into God loves everybody, or God loves you. And this is probably closer to the process of how it works. And there's a lot of fine points to it that I certainly don't understand, but we are lucky enough to be able to ask questions on this line and find the answers from the sources that say they're projecting the energy into this realm. If you happen to be listening for the first time, and what I'm saying is like new to you, then I suggest don't believe it. Just be open to the possibility and notice the space in between the words. Notice the energy around you. Notice the feeling of connection on the call. Notice how, if you get to feel that sense of connection, when the call is over, it doesn't go away. Something shifted inside of you that continues, that can continue after the call. And that's why I tell people, if you really want to work on yourself, and if come to as many calls or listen to the replays as you can, because the energy's on the call. I've seen over and over again, people who keep listening to the calls eventually have, I guess, what they call an epiphany experience, where they get it. They feel the energy. But keep in mind, at the beginning, you're coming into this with 1,000 lifetimes of patterns in your energy field. And those patterns have to release in order to feel the energy on the call. And I had another thought, and it just slipped away. So, Terry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you. You're loud and clear. How about me? Loud and clear?
You're very loud and clear, yes.
Oh, good. So what we do is we do this little invocation to the light, which is basically, I don't like to call it a prayer, although it sounds like a prayer. I don't like to think of this as a religion, because it's not. It's just a gathering and a communication with beings outside this realm. But this invocation to the light is creating a set of intentions for something to happen. And intentions are very important, because through your intentions, you change. You access energies. And it has to be a strong intention, consistent over
a period of time to create a shift. And so when we say this, this is a kind of a shortcut way of bringing in the space of the energy. Some of you already feel the energy, so we don't even have to do it. You're already feeling it. But others of you, as I say this, if you share the intention with me, you may notice a shift in the energy around you. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the solar system, through the planets, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, through our feet, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a coming together of our energies, a blending, a group, while maintaining the individual sovereignty of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, operating in the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And we'll take just a moment of silence, and those of you can just feel the energy that we've just invoked. No matter where you are in the world, no matter when you listen to this, this energy is present. And we invite our sources to introduce themselves to us right now.
We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with each and every one of you, whether it's on the BBS radio or on the telephone line or listening to the audios or reading the transcripts at a later time. All of these means of media carry our frequencies and our energy. It is a very high frequency, and for those that wish to connect, once they get the energy in their space and have the desire to connect, we know that it is a positive thing then, that it is desired, and we are a free will group that we connect when we are called for. And it doesn't have to be in any particular format. It can be a desire, or it can be a prayer for something, an intention. We take a minute and connect with those that wish to be connected with, and we ask if there are questions.
Thank you. Well, we're continuing our conversation about DNA evolution, and we know that in the first instance of life on the planet, it was you who developed the first DNA. And the DNA was modeled to be a reflection of the universe on a microcosmic scale. And I would assume the first DNA was very simple. And as the DNA, as the universe got more sophisticated, as there were more planets, more galaxies, then the DNA got more sophisticated. And it's my understanding that there's 12 strands of DNA. And there was a certain point where the disembodied Elohim, the Elohim, were creating by projecting into this realm and maneuvering things, I would assume. And then there was a point where there were descended genetic scientists that were engineering DNA. And so perhaps many of the plants, flowers, animals, dogs, different kinds of humans were not engineered, and this is, I don't know if this is true, were not engineered by the Elohim that were in, you know, didn't have bodies, that were just energies, but were engineered by human forms in this realm. So I wanted to ask a question about the evolution of that process. At what point, if that point did come, maybe it didn't, maybe you're still engineering DNA from that realm, but at what point did a large aspect of the engineering of DNA go from your creation to beings that were in the physical realm? Do you understand the question?
Yes. We start the answer to your question by indicating that the DNA was a result of the actions of some of the Elohim and other beings. However, the resultant DNA was manifested by those, and we speak slowly to make this more understandable. This DNA was created by the spinning of energies which created a vortex which condensed within the vortex the life force that is all and everywhere, and condensed it together so that it had ribbons of manifested condensed life force within it. And these ribbons then were the precursor to the DNA, and the DNA developed within these spinning vortexes. The vortexes had subvortexes, and then as the energies shifted, the manifest ribbons of life force condensed and broke into different links, and then finding themselves in a primordial soup, then began to have the sense of life within this localized area. And so DNA was manifested not directly by the Elohim, but it was manifested as a result of the action of creating spinning vortexes. And
let me ask a question here for clarification.
Yes.
So now we have a great number of Elohim souls or energies outside of time, and they are able to spin energy into the physical universe in what my book called torsion wave energy. And I would assume if it was spinning that you could control the frequency of the spin. And the frequency of the spin had something to do with something. And did it take more than one Elohim being to create the spins? Or did you work out teamwork to create spins simultaneously so that it would not for the manifestation in the physical universe?
It was a much higher function. It was a matter of joy, instantaneous joy and expression that these vortexes were created, much like a child with a thought, very happy and excited with the effect that he, she could create.
Was there a lot of preliminary engineering before the vortex would spin out, or did you automatically know how to do it?
It was a matter of development, of evolvement, and seeing what was aesthetically satisfying in the harmonics and in the vibrations, not creating clashing vibrations by spinning vortexes against each other harshly, but what goes together beautifully like a symphony.
Thank you. Now, all of us now are sitting here in bodies that have DNA as a basic building block. And those same spinning vortexes are impacting our DNA right now. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. And it is manifesting changes in your DNA.
Yes.
As different vortexes intersect with your sphere.
Yes. Was the first DNA 12 strand, or was it less? Why is it that we have 12 strands of DNA?
It was 12 is a stabilizing, harmonious grouping of strands that was more stable than 2 and carried more information than 2 or 1 and was a better building block than the other quantities of strands.
Now, plants and animals all have DNA. Are they all 12 strands of DNA?
Not all animal life. It depends upon the complexity of the animal. The more complex animals would have the 12 strands. Although it would be activated in different ways.
So originally, there would be 12 strands of DNA, and then how did the genetic scientists on Earth engineer the DNA? How did they know how to do that? Were they connected to the higher Elohim when they did that? Or they could they do that just by their own manipulations?
When you already had life forms that one could work with, then there was experimenting to see what would go together and what would result. Much the same as there is still experimenting in some areas going on at this time. And much as in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce in Part 3, talks about experimenting with shining a light through one form of life into another form of life through a duck into a chicken egg and seeing the chicken take on the qualities of the duck with having webbed feet when the chicken was born. As the information packets overwrote some of the information in the chicken DNA.
That happened very quickly, correct? I mean,
that is correct. That is correct.
Can a human evolve their DNA as quickly as that? In other words, if somebody wanted to open up their fourth strand of DNA, the way that I understand it is that they need the in-streaming energies of the fourth chakra open, going through the portal of the heart, and then it goes into the body and starts to activate the DNA. But that it doesn't happen where there's one experience and it sticks. It needs to be experienced repetitively to stick. Is that correct?
There is two factors here. One of them is the opening of the heart to the individual opening of their chakras in being able to receive and to give love. The second is the heart having in-streaming information from the stars and from the information coming in from the more direct connection with the Kunepku that can feed this directly into the chakra system of an open heart. And the opener the heart and the opener the chakras, the more open the chakra system, the more the incoming energy can rewrite the energy in the area of the heart and can have an effect upon the DNA and help rewrite and open and activate more strands of DNA.
Thank you. There's somebody out there listening that's laying in bed, that's depressed, and saying, I get depressed every day for a year now. I don't know why, how I can face life. And they're talking about opening this heart, opening up the DNA strand. What would you tell that person who's in that state that says, I want to do this, but I don't know how?
You cannot do this with your mind. This is a way beyond the capability of the mind. But getting the idea is a first step towards opening this. We would suggest for that individual to put themselves into a state of laughter wherein they can begin to look at the situations of difficulty and begin to laugh.
Maybe we should start up cheer-up committees of people that are a little bit masterful in this joy thing, calling other people up and telling them jokes every day.
That would be very good for an individual who was lonesome and would need a connection to laugh a little.
Now, when we're on these calls, there's the potential to feel those energies right on the call, and that potential can activate those DNA strands over time. Am I correct on that?
This can. However, we are very high frequency, and individuals who are, we might even use the word strumming or operating at a lower frequency, which is more of the earthy, grounded, manifest minerals area, they may not feel the higher energies. Although the higher energies are there, they may not feel them as readily. But there are harmonics in the lower areas. And so we, as a group, are learning to send energy through those harmonics to reach those people at the lower frequencies.
You're learning to do that right on this call, yes?
We are doing that as we speak.
Yes. So some of you may be feeling those energies in your body. When you're doing it, you're operating as a team. It's not like, one group say, okay, we're doing South America, and another group say we're doing Europe, or can the same team work on a big expanse of area?
We are doing that primarily with listeners who are open to it, and we are placing it in the vibrations of all that we touch concerning the call, so that people that come into the call at a later time may also experience these frequencies.
Thank you. You know, our time is up on BBS Radio. It's 7:51, and why don't I just let you thank you so much for sharing all that and sharing those frequencies in this realm, and I hope some of you are experiencing that. And if you can, take 30 seconds to say goodbye to us, and we will end this session.
We hope that within the frequencies that we share, you will receive some of the immense love that we have for you. And know and sense that you are loved. Adonai.
Thank you. And thank you, Terry. Thank you, everyone, PBS. Thank you, everyone that's on the conference call that's helping to hold the energy and space for these transmissions. Thank you to our sources, and on Wednesday night we have a call where you can submit questions over a conference call. If you want to listen to our Wednesday night call, please sign up to messageaday.net and watch your emails, and you'll get the phone number about an hour before the call, which is also 6 p.m. Pacific time. You have questions, send them to questions@messageaday.net, and we're going to stop our recording.
You stop conference record. Your conference recording has stopped.